Well, today is the feast day of St. Clare of Assisi. It's also been a special day in my family since on August 11th, 1973, my mom and dad started a Junior Legion of Mary group, and my sister Idel and I and my other sister Naisha would join that group. So today is my 42nd anniversary of being in the Legion of Mary, which I joined when I was 10 years old. So whenever I think of the feast day of St. Clare on August 11th, I think of my very first Legion of Mary meeting way back on August 11th, 1973. So let's take a look at the life of St. Clare. One of her biographers said, she was Lady Clare, shining in name, more shining in life. She was a native of Assisi, noble of birth, but nobler by grace. A maiden most pure in heart, young in years, strong in determination, steadfast in purpose, but wise and meek, and a marvelous lover of Christ. That's one of her biographers described this tremendous woman, St. Clare of Assisi. She was born in the year 1193 into a very wealthy and noble family. But she heard the preaching of Francis of Assisi. Francis was 12 years older than her. He had had a conversion, and now he began to live a life of a beggar, of a mendicant, of a preacher, calling people to conversion and to live the gospel. She was 18 years of age when she heard his sermon about following Christ. And so she met with him and felt that she too was called to leave everything, to leave all her wealth, her nobility, her family, to completely follow Christ and live the gospel. And so on Palm Sunday in the year 1212, she left her home secretly and then at night was brought into the chapel with Francis and the other young men that had followed him. She made her vows to follow Christ in poverty, chastity, and obedience. She cut off her beautiful, long, blonde hair, and she embraced a life of poverty. Of course, she was the first of all the followers of St. Francis that were women, so he did not yet have a convent, so he had her placed in the Benedictine convent until he was able to build a convent for herself. But when her relatives and family had heard that she had left her life of wealth and nobility and had embraced poverty and was now living in a Benedictine convent of women, they stormed the convent trying to bring her out, but she was able to convince them that this was God's holy will for them. Eventually, her family understood, and eventually one of her sisters joined her, then another sister joined her, and after her father's death, her mother joined her as well. And these four women, the three daughters and the mother, would become the first of the Poor Clares, called the Poor Women of Assisi, later known as the Poor Clares. So this was the beginning of the convent. So St. Clare, of course, became the head of the women, and they lived a life of austerity and poverty and humility. They did not wear shoes. They did not eat meat. They slept on the ground. They lived a life of silence. They wore hair shirts, penitential shirts under their habits as a means of penance, and they had no possessions. They lived lives of fasting and only lived on donations that were brought to them. And Clare governed the order for the next 40 years. And the last 27 years of her life, she had many health problems, many health issues, but she continued to guide this order of women that continued to grow and then split into more and more convents and branches. One of the most amazing events that occurred in her life was when the town of Assisi was sieged by the Saracens, and the Saracens had been burning and pillaging villages all throughout Italy, and when they came into the town of Assisi, Clare was notified that the Saracens were at the gate, and so she went into the chapel, got the Blessed Sacrament, placed it in a monstrance, and then opened one of the convent windows high up and held the Blessed Sacrament above the invading army. And it said they turned and fled, and they did not attack the city or burn or pillage the town of Assisi. So St. Clare is the patron saint of Eucharistic adoration, and she's also the patron saint of television, maybe because of the airwaves, because of, you know, saving her town by holding up the Blessed Sacrament. She died at the age of 60 in the year 1253. She was canonized just 2 years later in 1255. And if you go to Assisi today, I know many of you have been there, you know where St. Francis is buried in his church. Not far from there is the Church of San Damiano, and St. Clare is buried, and her body is also, her body is incorrupt, and you can pray in front of her tomb. And on her deathbed, notice she had no fear of death. She said to herself on her deathbed, speaking to her soul and her body, "Go forth in peace, for you have followed the good road. Go forth without fear, for he who created you has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Blessed be you, my God, for having created me." So I think what we see in the life of St. Clare is the power of friendship, especially her spiritual friendship that she always had with St. Francis, of how he inspired her by his preaching and encouraged her to follow Christ. And then her lack of fear of death, completely trusting that she would enter the kingdom of heaven and be with the Lord for all eternity. And we are blessed in our diocese to have the Convent of the Poor Clares in Alexandria. And we believe that this is probably the number one reason why our diocese has been blessed with so many vocations over the years. In our diocese, over these last 25, 30 years, we probably have more priests per Catholic than almost any diocese in the United States. And so we believe it's the prayers and sacrifices, penance and fasting of our own poor Clares, the poor women of Alexandria, who have been praying for our diocese and for vocations since our diocese was founded, what, 30 or 40 years ago. So I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of St. Clare. Through the intercession of St. Clare, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.